Good morning. Worship is always so awesome in this place. I mean, you really do enter into the presence of the Lord. And you just need to be so aware of that, that you really are in the presence of the Lord. So I just love coming here. So, Father, we thank you once again for your presence in this place. Lord, we worship you, we magnify you, we exalt your name on high. For you alone are worthy to be praised, worthy to receive all glory and honor. And we thank you for your presence here this morning. And everyone said, amen. Amen. Well, I am going to be speaking on healing this morning. I will just mention, I've actually preached now in 46 countries. And at the end of this year, I will have been in 12 countries this year alone. So, but it was great having Lindsay with me. But if you ever want to be in partnership with our ministry and see what all I'm doing, the Lord has really opened up more doors for me with the police. I'm a volunteer chaplain with the police department in Oceanside, but I've been asked to do so much with the police in Europe. And so I've done several conferences in Zurich, last year in Hungary. This year I'll be back in Hungary, preaching again in Zurich and then in Austria. But it's a Christian police association, so it's just great. And I just speak about how to listen to the Holy Spirit. And just, you know, those who come who haven't been filled with the Holy Ghost, they get filled, and then we all just lift up our hands, and a whole room of police officers just praying in the Holy Ghost. It's pretty awesome. So you might want to be in partnership with that. My little book on instructions from the great physician is extremely popular. We get so many testimonies from that little book. If you don't have one, I'd encourage you to get one. But well, I was just in the Czech Republic again a couple months ago, and they've asked for that book to be reprinted again in their language because they said it's one of the most popular books over there. So anyway, just to mention those few things to you. But I am going to be speaking on healing, and I'd like you to look at scripture that you've heard, I know, so many times. It is Isaiah 53:5. Isaiah 53:5. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. Not going to be, we are. And this covers the total man, spirit, soul, and body. But, you know, as I travel around the world and I see so many Christians still struggling with healing, and it ought not to be. Because Calvary was so well done in one act, it need never to be repeated. By his stripes we are healed. 1 Peter 2:24 says, by his stripes we were. So if you are, you were, then honey, you is. And you got to get that revelation that you is healed now. But it's so important that we see ourselves as the Word of God says we are. And I think that's the big challenge. People, when their body is screaming out in pain, they think, well, how can I say I'm healed? You must see it, first of all, with the eye of faith. The eye of faith sees first what the natural eye does not yet see. And that, again, can be such a major challenge for people when your body is screaming out in pain, those negative reports keep flooding in. That's when you go back to being in his presence. We were singing about it, being in his presence and letting his love just pour out upon you. It's his love that has healed us. Amen. Now I'm going to ask you a question. You can give me a show of hands to the answer. How many of you know that you know that you know that you're going to go to heaven someday? You know that you are saved. Praise God. Now I'm going to ask you another question. How many of those who raised your hand, how many of you have already been to heaven? Maybe you spent a couple days there and talked to Jesus. Maybe you saw Paul and Peter. I mean, how many of you had already done that? Oh, not one person. But you know that you know that you know. And you've never seen heaven. But you see it with the eye of faith. It is the same thing with healing. Whosoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And that includes healing, deliverance, whatever you need. So with the same faith that you are so fully persuaded that you are saved, even though you haven't seen heaven, Even though you haven't seen your healing manifest, you must first see it on the inside of you. You've got to see it with the eye of faith. Does that make sense to you? You've got to see it that way, first of all, because you can't go someplace where you haven't seen. Your faith can't go someplace if it hasn't seen it yet. That's why you've got to see it with the eye of faith. I want to look at, Lindsay, I need something out of my purse. Could you get my purse for me? Thank you. Just let me grab some. I was going to be sure not to forget to do this, and I forgot to do it. Thank you, Lord. I want to give you an illustration on something. A woman's purse. I got it. Thanks. I just want to give you some practical things that we need to do just in the natural realm. In Proverbs chapter 4, it says, take firm hold of instructions. Do not let go, but keep her, because she is your life. You know, it's so critical that we follow instructions with God's medicine, with when you take medicine from a doctor. Now, I have here a little prescription bottle. I put a little label on here with instructions. It says, for example, take one tablet 3 times a day. Now, you know, if you'll obey these instructions, this medication will work as it's supposed to work, supposedly. Amen? But if you decide, well, I don't want to have to remember to do it 3 times a day, so I'll just take all 3 of them once a day. Well, what have you done? You changed the instructions. Or you might think, wow, this was really expensive. I think I'll stretch it out. I'll just do it every other day. That way I only have to buy it once every other month. Well, you've changed the instructions. Or you might think, this is so good. I know this is going to do it. I think I'll take the whole thing at once and be done with it. You'll be done all right. See, if you change the instructions, it's not going to work for you. And God says here, follow, take hold of my instructions and do not let them go. Don't change them in any way, shape, or form. He takes his instructions very seriously, and so must we. In Proverbs, let me read it to you again in chapter 4, verse 20. My son, give attention to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. Do not let them depart from your eyes, but keep them in the middle of your heart. For my words, they're life to those that find them, and health, the original translation says, medicine to all your flesh. And then it goes on to say in verse 23, and keep or guard your heart with all diligence, for out of it springs the issues of life. First of all, he gives us instructions, and one final instruction is to guard your heart. What must you guard your heart from? The facts. The doctor gives you facts. Jesus gives you truth. Nothing wrong with doctors, but they can only give you the facts. Jesus is the healer. His word is infused with the power to heal the human body. He is the medicine. He is the healer. But you've got to follow the instructions. Don't let it depart from your eyes. He says, incline your ear to my sayings. If the ear gate is involved, that means the mouth gate has to be involved. So you're going to have something has to be spoken in order for you to hear it. And it's not just what the pastor says, but it's what you say, especially at midnight when fear wants to grip you and pain in your body is just screaming. And you're all alone, and it's dark. That's where the rubber meets the road. That's where you're going to win or lose the battle. So you need to speak that word so that your mouth gate is involved, the ear gate is involved. He says, keep it before your eyes. Don't let it depart from your eyes. And then if you've got the ear gate, the eye gate, the mouth gate involved, it's going to begin to change your thinking. And then those thoughts of truth are going to get into your spirit. And from the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. But you have to guard your heart because you can put wrong things in there from fear and doubt and unbelief. So you want to feed on truth. And I can't tell you how often you need to, you just, when the battle is so strong, don't let your eyes off the Word of God for 1 minute. You've got to fight that good fight of faith. And do not go to Mr. Google and expect to get an answer. So many people right off the bat, I mean, it's Mr. Google this and Mr. Google that. He does not have the answer for you. He is not the healer. But people do it all the time. And what does that do? That opens the door to fear and doubt and unbelief, because it's all going to be negative information. You need to guard your heart against that. You understand what I'm saying? I mean, it's very serious that you guard your heart, because death is not in the power of cancer. Death is in the power of the tongue. Death is in the power of the tongue. You know, God made this human body. And this is God's word. It's the only book in the whole world that has been breathed with the breath of God. This is from God. God made this. So he made the human body to respond to his medicine to heal it. And he made his word to be infused with the power to heal the body that he made. This human body will never reject God's medicine. And God's medicine will never reject healing the human body. They both have an assignment from the throne of God to work together to heal you. Amen. They have that assignment. It's just like seed and soil. God made the seed. God made the soil. And that seed will never reject the soil, and the soil does not reject the seed. They have an assignment to work together to produce a harvest. Amen? So it is with your body. It's infused with the ability to receive healing. You know, when I was thinking about this, you know, when we learned multiplication tables in school, what did you do when you learned your multiplication tables? You used flashcards. Your eye gate was involved. You spoke those multiplication tables over and over. Your mouth was involved. Your ear was involved. Your eye was involved. Do you know that you learned multiplication tables according to biblical principles? That's why you know them just like this. But you may not remember maybe Gettysburg Address or some famous poem that you learned at school, because that was memorization. But when you use the eye gate, the ear gate, the mouth gate, it gets into your spirit. That's why these little packets of healing scriptures are so critical, because you've got the word with you at all times. Just pull it out of your pocket, because you've got to have it with you. You can't carry this around with you all the time, amen? But you've got to have that word with you, because it's so important that you look at the word. You know, just quoting the word, just going around the house and, I'm healed, I'm healed, I'm healed. That's only taking one portion of the medication. It's important to know the Word of God in your heart, and you can just, and there are times where you'll just speak the Word of God when you're driving down the car, or you're cleaning out the garage, or you're vacuuming, or doing the dishes. But then there's times where you have to turn into that holy written Word and you read it, because there's just something special that happens when you're looking at God's Word, His love letter to you. That's why sometimes when you're reading the word, words can just jump off the page at you. Do you know what I mean? It's just like you've read it 1,000 times and, whoa, I never saw it like that before. Why? Because it's alive. The word is alive. You can just keep it back there. There's life in this word. Something special happens. So you want to keep it before your eyes at all times. Because, again, the eye of faith must see first before the natural eye will actually see it. And the ear of faith has to hear what the eye of faith sees. So the ear of faith has to hear, I am healed. No weapon formed against me will prosper. My life has been delivered from all destruction. I will not die but live and declare the works of the Lord. Himself bore my sicknesses and carried my diseases. The ear of faith has to hear what the eye of faith sees. You've got to see it on the inside of you. And the only way that's going to come is by being meditating on that word day and night. Like Joshua says, meditate on it day and night. I go to bed every night listening to a sermon. It puts me to sleep. But I'm starting off listening to it. And you know, that's why your sleep is always sweet, because your mind is focusing on what you're hearing. You're hearing the word of God. Even though it might put you to sleep, your spirit isn't sleeping. It's only your physical body that went to sleep. And you might wake up at 2 o'clock in the morning, but the word's right there, because that's what you went to bed with. It's not thinking about a problem that's going to happen at work the next day, or some situation or financial problem. When you feed and go to sleep with the word, because God never sleeps nor slumbers, and neither does your spirit. So that's so critical. If there's things going on and you know your mind just wants to run wild, and it does sometimes, go to bed with the word, just listening to it. And you know what? I always have a pad and pencil right at my bedside, because if the Lord does wake me up at 2 o'clock, sometimes he'll give me something. Boy, I need to write it down right now, because it's coming from my spirit, not from my memory. If I don't write it down, I may not remember it in the morning. I think, he said, what was that he said? If I write it down, and I don't even turn the lights on, I write it in the dark. It's pretty scribbly, but I'm telling you, that's how you have to live that way. It's fighting the good fight of faith. It's pressing in. It takes time, but it's worth all the effort. But sometimes, you know, we do live in two realms. We live in a natural realm, and we live in a spiritual realm. And they're both very real. But the eye of faith has to see the invisible before it will see the visible. In Luke 6:45, it says, a good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth good. He brings forth faith filled words of healing. An evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart brings forth evil, or doubt, unbelief, and fear. Because out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth will speak. So there again, you need to guard your heart. Don't put things in there that can cause fear and doubt and unbelief. Amen? Because it's easy to do, but we have to guard ourselves from that. In Romans chapter 8, in verse 6, it says, the mind governed by the flesh is death, or we could say defeat. If you're always governed by the facts, that's going to bring defeat in your life. And there's so many Christians saved, filled, and defeated. We're supposed to be saved, filled, and triumphant. Amen. So then it says the mind governed by the spirit. It's life. It's peace. It's healing. It's wholeness. It's victory. So our mind must be governed by the spirit. But once again, we do live in two realms. There is that natural realm that we have to get the victory over. When your body is screaming out in pain and those negative reports keep flooding in, what are you going to do then? 2 Corinthians 10:4 and 5, it's the first thing it tells you what to do. The weapons of our warfare, they're not carnal, but they're mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. And you bring into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. And if you look at that scripture in reverse, didn't know if you had it up there. If you don't take that negative thought captive, it will become an imagination. And imaginations grow and they get bigger and bigger and bigger until they become a stronghold. And then you've got some spiritual warfare on your hands to break free from that stronghold. So when that fear, those negative reports come, you take it captive. And let me tell you how to do that, by taking it captive. Turn to Philippians chapter 4. In Philippians chapter 4. You probably know this scripture. Again, but we want to keep it before our eyes. Be anxious for nothing. I don't care what the doctor says. If he says you've got 3 days to live, you'd be anxious for nothing. Amen? In everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which is a strong evidence of faith, the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will guard your heart and mind through Christ Jesus. And finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, noble, just, pure, lovely, if there be any praise, if there be any virtue, think on those things. Yeah, that's what you think. You have to discipline your mind to think on truth. Think, by his stripes, I am healed. Not going to be, I am. No weapon of sickness, disease formed against me will prosper. Amen. I am the healed of the Lord. You've got to think on those things. And then Jude 20, build yourself up in the Holy Ghost. I love your prayer time here and just praying so much in the Holy Spirit. And I love what Lindsay was saying too, that when you're praying, and we were praying for Pastor Henry and Jackie, just to really focus in when you're speaking in tongues, you're focusing in that you're making a declaration for safety, for them to come home safe, that they fly in friendly skies and that God is in charge of the pilot, the co-pilot, and all the passengers. And you zero in. It's like a prophetic thing. Well, it's the same way when you're praying in tongues and you're building yourself up. Not only are you building yourself up, but the Bible says when you pray in tongues, you're not praying to man, you're praying to God. Amen. And secret things are revealed. You're tapping into the realm of the answer. So not only do you build yourself up, but when you're praying in tongues, listen to those words that are coming from your spirit. Listen. Don't just be fiddling around doing something else and just praying in tongues. Be focused. You are talking to God, the King of the universe. I mean, we have a privilege to talk to God, the one that paints the sunset and puts the stars in place, paints the beauty in the wing of a butterfly. We get to talk to him. That is so awesome. So stay focused, because he will speak to you if you're listening. You know, it's just like if you can just envision a big circle. God's at the top and we're at the bottom. And we'll just say, for illustration's sake, the Holy Spirit is at both sides. When I pray to the Lord, the Holy Spirit, he takes my prayer up to the throne room. And the eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and he hears our prayers. God always hears your prayer, and then he's going to answer. I like what it says in John 16, 13. When the Spirit of truth has come, he will guide you into all the truth. And he will not speak on his own authority, but he will only speak what he hears the Father tell him to say to you. So when God answers that prayer, he's going to answer it via the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit's going to speak to you only what he heard the Father tell him to say. So you want to listen, because you're tapping into the realm of the answer. You know, sometimes it could just be a little tweak in your body, or maybe it's a nutritional thing that you just need to do. Or maybe there is something wrong, that there might be a little adjustment. But don't be so hard on yourself. It could be something really simple, because it's not a mystery to God. It's a mystery to you. It might be a mystery to the doctor. But the Lord can reveal that to you, because he wants you healed. Your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost. He said, you have been bought with the price. You are not your own. He says, so glorify me in your body and in your spirit, which are mine. So he wants us to glorify him in our body. So we have that responsibility to follow those instructions, to tap into our helper. The Holy Spirit is our helper. How awesome is that? We're not doing this by ourselves. You might be in bed. You might be all alone at midnight, but the Holy Ghost is right inside of you. He's got power on the inside of you. The same Spirit that raised up Christ from the dead lives on the inside of us. Woo! I mean, that power. I mean, that's more powerful than a bomb. A bomb will never be powerful enough to reach the pit of hell. Never. It's never going to happen. But the same Spirit that did already reach the pit of hell and raised Christ from the dead lives on the inside of you and me. I mean, that is beyond awesome. That God put one third of himself to live inside of you and me, to help us to be victorious in this life, on this earth. Isn't that awesome? Awesome, awesome, beyond awesome. It's just beyond awesome that we have the greater one living on the inside of us. So another thing, when you're praying in the Holy Ghost, And like we were singing, just coming into his presence. You need to learn to be quiet and just listen. And sometimes just close your eyes and see yourself in the presence of the Lord. Just see him wrapping his arms around you, realizing that you are the apple of his eye. He wants you healed. He needs you healed. He's on our side. He's not going to make this a difficult thing. It's really simple. Simple, simple. Look how salvation was so simple. It's the same simple faith. And you know, as fully persuaded that you were for healing or for salvation, that's great faith. You've already got great faith for something you've never even seen before. So just apply that same faith to healing for your physical body. And it does take effort. I won't deny. I've been there, done that, and it takes effort. I know what it's like to be in a hospital room with so much pain. They've given you all the pain medication they can. There's no more that they can give you. And tears just stream down your cheeks because you're in so much pain. Actually, when you're laying on your back, they don't stream down your cheeks. They go into your ears. It's very uncomfortable. When you're laying like that, they don't go down your cheek. I've been there, and I've done that, and I know the fight that it takes. You know, in Mark chapter 9, it talks about when Jesus invited Peter and James and John to go with him up a mountain one day. You know, Jesus was used to going up to the mountains. He went up there to be alone with the Father to pray. He loved being alone with the Father. But this one particular day, he invited Peter, James, and John to go with him. They went up, it says, a high mountain. Now, Jesus is used to climbing the mountains, but Peter, James, and John, I'm sure by the time they got halfway up there, they're huffing and a puffing. Peter's probably saying, Jesus, are we almost there yet? But when they got to the top of that mountain and saw the transfiguration of the Lord Jesus Christ, it was worth all the effort they could muster up to get there. You see, things happen on the mountaintop that just don't happen in the valley below. Takes that time to be alone with the Father. You know, when I was, Lindsay mentioned that I was dying of cancer, I was dying of cancer too, but I was also dying of malaria. And malaria affects your liver, kidneys, spleen. At the point, I had gone into the hospital on Thursday. I had been to Africa, and I was taking the preventative the whole time I was there. But I went to the hospital on Thursday because I was getting so sick. I had turned yellow. I had two forms of malaria at the same time while I was taking the preventative. And I went in on Thursday. By Tuesday morning, I had hours left to live. My fever was 105. My liver, kidneys, spleen were being destroyed. My blood was being destroyed. You have excruciating headache. You're very, very nauseated. I mean, you can be very, very sick with malaria, especially when you have two forms at the same time. And the doctor said, Marilyn, I'm sorry, but you are dying. If you want to say goodbye to your family, you need to call them now, not this afternoon. Do you understand what I'm saying? This afternoon will be too late. That's pretty close. And when you're at that point of death, you're very weak. You don't hardly have any volume left, hard to speak. And I thought, no, God didn't heal me of cancer so I could die of malaria. Does not compute. And that whole week, I applied the word of God and I kept taking my authority over that spirit of malaria. And every day, I'm getting a worse report. Still taking authority, still applying the word of God, but the symptoms are getting worse and worse. And now I'm down to hours to live. I could have thought, well, I guess the word isn't going to work. No. The word does work. And faith works. But you have to take your faith and work the word. But you have to see it with the eye of faith. I thought, no, I am not dying. I will live and not die. I see myself alive, declaring the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And after the doctor told me I was going to die, I fell asleep and I woke up a couple hours later. Must have been about 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning.
And I thought, oh, I'm still alive. I did. I thought, oh, I'm still breathing. And I thought, I can still take authority. But that morning, I thought, I want the devil to see me sitting up in bed. Now, that took effort. And I took a hold of the support bars on the side of my bed, and I began to pull. And I pulled, and I pulled, and I pulled until I was sitting up. It took me a long time. I mean, I'm extremely weak. And then in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ of Nazareth, I didn't do anything different. I just did the same thing I'd done all week long. I just took authority over that spirit of malaria, and all of a sudden, I just got it. Well, you know what happened at that moment? At that moment, the devil realized, okay, I can't win this one. See, you resist the devil, he will flee. But he's going to keep coming at you with those symptoms until he sees how much is it going to take before I pull him down? Or how much is he going to see he's lost the battle? You just keep fighting. It just takes effort to climb that mountain. You cannot give up. You've got to feed yourself on the word until that word comes so alive on the inside of you that you see it, that you know, that you know, that you know you are healed as much as you know that you know that you know that you are saved. You've got to see it with the eye of faith. It does take effort. I'm not saying it doesn't take effort. But you've got the greater one living on the inside. I can do all things through Christ who what? Strengthens me. He will give you the strength to fight that good fight of faith. It is a fight, but you've got the strength. You know, we were designed to live and to walk by faith. Through the new birth, we are designed to do that. We have the ability to do that because greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. You have everything in you to get the victory. Amen. You've got the word. You've got the Holy Ghost. So just keep yourself so built up that you can do it. Does that help you today? Yes. That you have to see with the eye of faith. You've got to see it. You've got to see it. You've got to see it. And you've got to fight that good fight of faith. I don't care how weak you get. You know, that was in 1986 when I was healed of cancer. Matter of fact, this is a copy of one of my medical reports. It says Marilyn Neubauer, 1986. I was the first patient in Tulsa, Oklahoma to have malaria. St. Francis Hospital, July 1986, Marilyn Neubauer. These are the facts. The facts say this patient is going to die. Psalms 118, verse 17 is truth. You will not die, but live and declare the works of the Lord. So you've got a choice. You've got the natural realm and the spiritual realm. And you were designed to live and breathe by this realm. No matter how bad it gets, no matter how much, I don't care if your fever is 105. I don't care if your liver and your kidneys and your blood is being destroyed. You still can come through. Amen. It takes effort. You've got to fight, fight, fight. But you are designed to win. Amen.